verse 12. Which says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. There are a few things that irritate me, and I see this happening more and more often among people in whom it should not be happening. And that is folks who take the Word of God and try to manipulate it to make it modern to today. Now listen, change is a normal thing. Change happens all around us, right? Science, we learn new things all the time. Finances, they create new vehicles for money and terminologies and ideas. It changes all the time. Aren't you glad that medicine changes all the time? Why? Because we learn stuff, we adapt stuff, we invent stuff, right? Many of the things that we create are kind of like living creations. We're going to change them, we're going to adapt them. People who are in the medical, legal, and many other trades jobs, they have continuing educational courses that they put themselves to. Why? Because the information changes all the time. But you know what happens with the Word of God? It doesn't change. Why? Because it's complete. It's complete. We're unboxing some of our things, and every now and then I'll find a picture. And you know what I find in the old pictures of me? I've changed. Not for the better. I wasn't working with all that much to begin with. You know, things change. And it's important that things change. The way you are today shouldn't be the way you are in the future. Why? Because you are not complete. Our knowledge of this world is not complete. Those things should change. But this old-time religion that we've got doesn't have to change. Why? Because there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing new to add to it. All the old things that were there before still apply today. As it sat with the Israelites, as Moses brought down the commandments, it is just important that we do not bear false witness today as it was then. Not killing each other is just as important today as it was then. Right, the same salvation that Stephen preached, that got him stoned, the same salvation that Philip preached to that eunuch, it still applies today. It does not matter how attractive it looks. It does not matter if it makes people happy or if it fits in with the current rhetoric of our day. It doesn't matter. It is complete, it is whole, it is fine. I read this recently. I don't think it's every day, but Disney has this thing where when they shut down, they'll go out and they'll repaint. And I don't know if it's daily or weekly or monthly, but they'll just have nights where they go out and they're repainting stuff. Why? Keep it fresh, keep it new, keep it clean looking. And hey, that's nice, especially if you're charging that much for a ticket, man. It better be nice. I wouldn't mind a red carpet or two at that price. But the point I'm trying to get to is this, is the Word of God doesn't need that. Why? Because it still perfectly applies. We may have invented some new things. We may have got some new situations happening. There may be some things that are acceptable today that have never in all the history of mankind been acceptable. But all the same, the Word of God holds. We live in a world where new is always better. New phones, new cars, new computers, all the different knowledge that we have. You must keep it fresh. But we have to leave the Word of God alone. Why? Because we're not smart enough. We don't know enough. It was God that handed it down to us. Not a one of us are on His level. Charlie mentioned to me this morning the Pope, who many people say is the mouthpiece of God, speaks for God, right? Well, apparently, if he speaks for God, tequila's okay with God all of a sudden. Right? What a joke. We don't have it. We are compromisers. We are men pleasers. We are people who will sit there and say, yeah, that's the rule, but let me make an exception so I can be everybody's buddy. That's not the point. That's not what we ought to be. We are not holy enough to touch the Word of God. We are good to study it. We are good to read it. But we are not holy enough to make any changes to it. As a matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, there is a curse to anybody who takes from or adds to the Word. But what do we see today? People are almost ashamed of this old-time religion. They're almost ashamed of it. Well, bro, I don't know anybody who says that they're ashamed. No, they won't say it. I mean, many will, but they won't say it. You know what they'll do? They'll try to over-explain things to make it sound a lot softer than what it is. Now, if the Word of God says, thou shalt not, guess what? Thou shalt not. If the Word of God describes your role as whatever it is that you are, that's what your role is. We don't pretty it up. We don't gussy it up. We don't make it softer or kinder or gentler. It is what it is. Well, maybe not hell per se, but maybe it'll just be a place of darkness. And it won't be as, maybe not fiery. It says fiery. So guess what there's going to be? Fire. Well, God would never want anyone to hurt. It says torment. It's what it is. But we try to doll it up. You can't. Leave it the way it is. I've been working on a few things because you hear so often, well, I like this about, you know, about our Baptist churches. I like this, but I'm not so sure I like that. Now, I'm a big fan of the King James Version of the Bible. I'm a big fan of preaching services. But you know what? There's one or two things that I could probably leave and be just fine with. That ain't it. If you're going to adopt one, you got to adopt it all. You got to take every word. You got to take every command. You got to take every ounce of wisdom. Right? And I tell you what, it is a good life. Serving the Lord is an amazing life. When Jesus promised a life more abundant, it truly is. But you're not going to have it compromising on everything that you don't like. Go with me, if you will, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. I've used this verse a couple times lately, and I keep coming back to it because I like it so much. I think it applies so much to today's day and age. Jeremiah 6, 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. You know, we have the Word of God sitting here. We've got the preaching that we have had for forever. And it says this. And there's a lot of people that sit there and say, yeah, but that's not very politically correct. Yeah, but that's not going to... How can I give the gospel when it sounds so harsh? So what are we doing? We're compromising on some things, right? We're changing some things. Yeah, when it says husband of one wife, that doesn't necessarily mean that a preacher can't have gone through a divorce. That's what it says. Oh, but you got to have room for love. I got tons of room for love, but love don't mean exceptions. You understand? I mess up by that woman back there. I'm done. That's the end of the story. That's it. Right? If we find out that there's something going on, something sinful, something bad going on in a church member's life, and they don't repent of it. That's exclusion. Oh, but brother, they've been members of the church for decades. I understand that. That breaks my heart. But it is what it is. You don't want to repent of it, we can't have you in. That's not very nice, it's not very kind, but it is what it is. I heard a preacher one time give this testimony. Yeah, I made a mistake, but if you let me go, what's my family going to do? How's my family going to get fed? Well, you probably should have thought of that before you fooled around with your secretary. Probably should have thought of that before you caught down there by the bar. You should have thought of that when you were sinning. You should have thought about it before you sinned. The Word of God is what it is. We ought not to be ashamed. There are too many today that hear the words of God and they are picking and they are choosing like they're at some kind of a buffet. Oh, I like me some doctrine over here, and I like this doctrine over here, but I don't want none of that. All right, preacher, don't preach it. Let's not talk about it. I'll come over here to the desserts. Give me the good stuff. We ought to love the whole counsel of God, whether it bothers you or it doesn't. We ought to love all of it. It doesn't change. It doesn't have to change. What we see here in this passage of Scripture is a very firm command. Listen, do not say no when God says yes. When God tells you to do something, you don't say no. I remember as a child, you didn't say no to mom. Other kids, they were out there in the world, they would turn over to their moms and they would say, no! And I go, whoo, my rear end hurt for them. It's like, somewhere right now, my mom's thinking about hitting me. Man, that ain't right. For the longest time into my teen years, but right, my mom would go to raise her hand too fast. I'd go like this. You don't say no to mama. You just didn't. But many of us were perfectly comfortable looking at the Word of God and saying no. Right? Is that we preach this morning, go out and give the gospel. Well, yeah, I really don't think I got to. Doctrine, election, blah, 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 blah. Don't say no. How are you going to get the blessings that you want? How are you going to avoid the chastisement that you don't want? How are you going to be able to sit there and look God in the eyes with nothing to show for your whole life? Because you want to say no. We don't say no. We don't. You ever try to stop someone from making a complete mess? And they go ahead, oh no, I got this, I got this, I got that. Think about the kids pouring big heavy things. You ever watch kids pour big heavy things? And the jug is shaking in their hands and it's sloshing all over. Let me help you. No, I got it. That's what we're doing when we tell God no. Oh no, Lord, I got it. And we're hurting people's feelings. And in a bad way, in an unscriptural way, we're hurting people. We're taking things that don't belong to us. We're doing damage out there in the world. Oh no, Lord, I got it. I got it. We got all this grace, all this wonderful things that God has done in our lives, all this strength that we have. And we, oh, no, Lord, I don't need that. I don't need it. Let me just do what I want to do. We are not to say no. We tell God yes. We tell him yes when the Word of God commands things. Oh, but it's old-fashioned. Just because it's old, don't mean it don't work. We get the wrong idea sometimes. New is always better. No, it's not. It's not. Right? Think back to cell phones. Remember the first cell phone you got? You could drop that thing right on the ground. Battery would pop out, you put the battery back in, and you'd go with your life. You drop your cell phone now, you don't have the proper case for it, by the way, $50 to $80. Right? You don't got the proper case for it. That thing will shatter. Right? Is new better? Not always. Hey, I tell you what have we learned in the last, oh say, 2,000 years that was anything better than what God has already given us? I mean, it tells us true how to treat each other. Has anything happened with that? Like somebody wrongs you, and you go and you talk to them and you work it out. Has that broken in the last how many years? If you wrong somebody, you go and you're supposed to apologize to them. Has that broken? No. As a matter of fact, that's the answer to so many of the problems we have today. I tell you what, judges would be outright bored if we knew how to handle things like gentlemen and ladies. We were able to sit there and just cross the street and say, hey, listen, man, I am sorry. If we're able to pick up the phone to that relative and say, listen, I did this and you did that, and I want to let you know that I'm sorry for my role in it. Do you know how much better life would be for so many Americans today, so many people in this world, if we just had the ability to communicate the way the Bible told us to communicate? Do you know how much debt would be erased? Do you know how much crime would go down if we just abided by the scriptures? I saw an advertisement for a new drug. Almost completely eliminates HIV. It says it's almost, you're able to live, it's almost like you can't pass it on. You know how else? How else would prevent that? Well, I tell you, we have to have abortions because otherwise it's just forced pregnancies. It's forced births. Now, I'm looking at the numbers. And most of the time, it's abortions out of convenience. I don't know if they're still teaching this in school, but there's only one way to get pregnant. You know what I'm saying? It's not by shaking hands. You stop doing the thing. That'll take care of both your problems right then and there. It will. Well, I don't want to have a baby with some guy who's just going to disappear. Well, I got another thing that you shouldn't do with some guy who's probably just going to disappear. We'd fix so much. We'd fix so much. Hey, what about all this assault going on out there? What about human trafficking? What about all this? I don't know if we just listen to God's word and how it is men are supposed to treat women. We wouldn't have it. If we taught men to keep their hands to themselves, we wouldn't have that problem. But we can't teach the Word of God. Of course, there's nothing broke with it, is there? That would work. Well, it won't work because people won't do it. Okay. My bicycle won't work. Why? Because I won't get on it. My car won't work. Why? Because I don't feel like going to find my keys. Not a problem with the car. It's not a problem with the bicycle. It's not a problem with the Word of God. You're selfish. You're chasing dopamine. You're out there chasing sin, trying to feel good for half a second, denying the long-term consequences of what you're doing. Nothing broke with the Word of God. So we ought to hang on to it. There's nothing wrong with it because it's old. As a matter of fact, that's how you know it's good, is it's still there working after all this time. Right? Do me a favor. I know we don't. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of the Code of Hammurabi. Ever hear about that? The Code of Hammurabi. Raise your hand if you know anything in the Code of Hammurabi. Me neither, man. I know the name. I think that's the eye for the eye thing, maybe. I'll look that up. That's it. We know the name of it, but we don't know much in it. Average person walking around the street, you hit them with something biblical, they might be able to recognize it a whole lot more than they do that. There's a lot of rules. A lot of things, a lot of governmental things that we know vaguely about, but has not stood the test of time. Think about Gamaliel's advice. Hey, listen, you're getting all frothed up over these guys, but if you make martyrs out of them, it'll only make it worse. You leave them alone, they'll go away. If not, it's got to be the truth. How many years has it been? Someone go get Gamaliel. We got the answer for him. It lasted. It's lasted the test of time. Now again, we're not at the end of this world, but it's still going strong, the Word of God. And the things that we find in there will be the solution to so many of the problems that we struggle with today. Why on earth would we tell God no? It sends the wrong message to God. It sends the wrong message to man. And I tell you what, telling no to God, telling God no, will mess up your life. That's how you get his chastisement down on you if he loves you. Or even scarier, I sin. I do the same sin. I've been doing it for years. Nothing bad's ever happened. That should concern you. That should concern you. If God's not doing anything about it, that should bother you. Either your payday's coming, either the punishment's coming, or he don't care at all. Why would God not care at all? Well, if you're sinning for that long and you're that excited about it, you need to double check your salvation. Right? Because he chastens whom he loves. Listen, we ought to hang tight, hang on to this old time religion. We ought to love it. There's too much damage that happens when we tell God no. And how about this? Don't try to change it. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Right? Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Why? I don't change. That's how you're still alive. Not, well, I was sitting in a cave, and all of a sudden I saw this angel-y demon thing, and they gave me a brand new revelation. God don't change. Well, I was sitting in my den, and the Lord spoke my name and said, hey, listen, let me tell you something. And it contradicts the scripture. God does not change. He doesn't change. And we need to be glad he doesn't change. Because I tell you what, we've done enough as churches, we've done enough as sinners to deserve God to change his mind about us. God does not change. And I'll tell you what, if God's not going to change, we got no business trying to change him. Well, maybe if we make him fluffier and cuter, and maybe if we cut down on all the rules, and maybe if we cut down on some of the things that he says about homosexuality and gender and family and the roles of the people in that family, maybe if we don't talk so much about it, maybe if we don't mention sin at all, we'll get people to come in and they'll love God. Well, how are you going to get them to love a God that you're not properly portraying? You're catfishing people for the Lord. You know what that is, right? So you pretend something is wonderful and amazing and fantastic, and all of a sudden it's a bait and switch. Because the God, if the Lord saves them, the God they stand before will not be the God you preached if that's what you're doing. We present God as he is. We don't try to change God because you can't. You're going to have to stand before him and answer. If you're saved at all, you're gonna have, these people are going to have to stand before God and answer for the lies they told. We preach the whole gospel just as it is. Why? Because God does not change. After all this time, well, you know, it's 2022. You don't think God wasn't thinking about 2022 when he set those rules down? Of course he was. You don't think God planned that far ahead? Do you think mankind has changed by nature so much? No, we may have to look a little bit harder for some of the newfangled contraptions we've invented, right? How does social media fit into scripture? You may have to dig a little bit, but I tell you what, the principles are there. Well, what is it? What's the difference between smoking and vaping? It doesn't matter. Look at the scriptures. It's there. We pay attention. It's there. God wrote it for you to study it, not to change it, not to put it into a different light. It says what it says. God wrote it. Who are you to try to change it? If it's not there, don't put it there. I was reading through a book one time, and somebody was making a comment on wire-rimmed glasses and why you shouldn't have wire-rimmed glasses. Why Christians shouldn't wear wire-rimmed glasses. Now, I tell you what, I went to the eyeglass store a couple years ago. I got two pairs. One was the plastic, one was the wire. And I used both to look through the scriptures, and I couldn't find a single reason why one was better than the other. The reason, it's too modern! Okay. That doesn't make any sense. If it's not there, don't put it there. Right? Well, you know, we don't like that kind of a light setup. You know? And I get you. There's some things that we've got to do, right? What should our church services look like? It's not in Scripture exactly how a church service should go. There are some things that we've got to put together. There are some things that we've got to decide. But I tell you what, there are things that we call Bible that aren't Bible. You know, I like the way we have our services set up, by the way. I'm not throwing any stones at it. I'm not looking to change it, right? But I can't sit there and tell you scripturally why it should be that way. I just like it. I think it works. You think it works? I think it works. We'll leave it. All right. Any opposed? And there's none. But I can't sit there and say, well, it's scriptural to put the song service first. According to God, we could probably sit there, put the preaching, and then have the song service and still be all right. It's not scripture. We don't put it on scriptural level. Don't sit there and try to put things in the Word of God that are not there. That's where we get into a lot of trouble. That's where we kind of mess things up. Well, Brother So-and-so, that's fine that that's what Brother So-and-so said 4,500 years ago. That's fine. But is that what the scripture says? Well, no, it doesn't say it, but I always thought it was biblical. It's not. And you know what? We could preach things that are right that you can't find in Scripture, but we can't put them on the same level as Scripture. The Scripture says what it says. Now, again, I fall back on that teaching of precept, principle, and preference, right? There are some things that we teach by precept, and we can argue about them till the cows come home, right, as to where they fall in there. There are some things that fall into the realm of preference we can argue about time and time again, but I'm talking about biblical, I think I said principle, there's biblical principles in there, biblical truths in there, and we've got to know what they are and stop pretending that our thoughts and opinions are on that same level. We hold to what God says, and that alone. If it's not there, don't put it there. If it is there, leave it there. Leave it there. Well, here's the thing, brother. You know, we had people that'll come, and they'll hear you preach that, and they don't like it, so they'll stop coming. So maybe if you stop preaching that on that particular topic, when you see visitors, it'll be okay. It won't be okay. Because eventually I'm going to have to get there. I am. A lot of times when I'm preaching through, especially when I'm preaching through like a series of something, what am I going to do? Oh, there's visitors. Let me go get sermon B. No. I'm going to preach that because guess what? Eventually it's going to come around. And you think the Holy Spirit's not going to sit there and work through all that confusion? And if the gospel is preached, that's not going to hit them? That's the most important thing. Well, I went to that church and they were preaching on tithing. I don't think that's right. Got to preach on tithing, man. What am I going to do? Right? Well, I went in there and they didn't have a big screen and they had old-fashioned songbooks. We'll get to that sermon here soon. They had old-fashioned songbooks. I don't like that. Well, Pastor, you know, I'd have a lot more of my relatives coming if we got rid of the songbooks. Well, that's fine, but we paid good money for those. We're going to leave those there. I mean, I wasn't here for it, but I'm assuming it was good money for it. We're going to leave those right there. Ain't got no reason to change it. No reason for it. That's good poetry sitting right there. And if we, there might be two or three duds in there. There might be a handful of unscriptural songs in there. Guess what we're going to do? We won't sing those. It's good stuff. We ain't going to change that. Right? I'm not to take away things from the Scripture just to make it easier. Right? That's not how it is. Right? It's not pizza where I can pick off the toppings. You leave it as it is. Right? God put it there. It's there for a reason. And I would say this as well. Make sure some of the things that we put alongside of it, they better fit in with it. Right? Going back to some of those preferential things. If we've got some preferential things, they better fit in there. Well, why do we sing three songs in a service? Well, I tell you what, I can't tell you scripturally why it's got to be three songs. But I tell you what, we've got to sing some songs. You've got to pick a number, and three is a good number. It fits with the time. There you go. Right? It does say that we ought to sing. I do see in Scripture where they were together and they sang hymns. So we're going to sing hymns. Hymns is multiple. Two, three, four, doesn't matter. We're going to put them in there. It fits. Fits in along with it. Well, why not this? You know, why not have a rock band with a solo and things like that, because it gets distracting from the words. And I'll tell you what, some of the modern day Christian songs that we have today don't have a lot of deep words. I can figure out, ooh, Jesus, ooh, on my own. Right? Melody could pull that one off. All right? I just don't eat. Well, how can you sit there and pick on it? It just doesn't do what it's supposed to do. When I line it up with what David wrote, what we see in the book of Psalms, when I line it up there, I see a grand difference between some of these things. Now, if you're sitting there and go, well, I listen to some more contemporary type music. Hey, listen, you know what songs you should be listening to? You know what songs you probably shouldn't be listening to, right? If they don't edify you, don't bother with it. Flip the channel. There's a couple of them out there. We got cell phones. Do you remember back when it was just Walkman, when you were walking around, you had Walkman? Now, for some of you, you're like, that was yesterday, brother. Get over it. That was a lifetime ago for me. You had the tape. You flipped that tape over me. Now we've got cell phones. You can have unlimited access. Even when they first came out with iPods, which, you know, by the time people moved on from the iPod to the iPhone, that's just when I got my first iPod. I'm always 2 or 3 years behind the curve on stuff, but no, everybody moved on, and here I am. Well, you can get this one, and you can hold 200 songs in it. You get this one, you can hold 500 songs in it. And now we've got streaming songs. We can just listen to unlimited amount of things that we want to listen to. And that's a great blessing, right? You've got options. If you're following into one of those, you know, 7 songs, 12 times on repeat, go ahead and you skip that. There's something else to listen to. But I tell you what you do in your car is going to be a lot different than what we do up here. Right? There's a difference between passing time and praising the name of the Lord. Right? If you're over there, you're sweeping the floor, you're working in the back garden, and you've got something, you know, something a little bit more entertaining than you have scriptural, that's different than what we're going to do in here. You understand? Right? That's noise worship. Noise worship. That's where we cut the line. We're not going to put anything in there that doesn't go along with what we're supposed to be doing here. Right? Hey, wouldn't it be fun if we, you know, maybe on a Sunday night, instead of preaching, we did a puppet show. It would be fun. I'd like to see some of you do it. But I'm not going to skip the preaching to do it. Not going to happen. Well, hey, what if we just took a Sunday off? We just had a respite Sunday. I heard about those respite Sunday where after Christmas, or if Sunday falls on Christmas, we just don't have church. Why? Well, it'd be nice. Yeah, but it ain't scriptural. It ain't right. So wait, what's Christmas about? Oh, Christmas is about celebrating the birth of Christ with my family. And you're going to do that by skipping church? Right? Growing up, we used to go to Bob Evans on Easter Sunday. And some of the family would go to church, some wouldn't. Grammy liked going there early, right? Because everybody else was gone. And we just slip right in before the big crowd gets there. Skipping church, right? What about this? Can we add this? Can we do this? Does it line up with Scripture? Does it affect it? Can we find anywhere in there where maybe we shouldn't do it, or it takes away from the main thing we're supposed to be doing? Nothing wrong with fun. We can have fun, right? We're going to have fun. Coming in June, by the way, if you haven't seen the calendar, we're going to have those kids back out there again playing sports. You guys want to do that again this year? Too bad. We're doing it anyway. It's the only exercise I get. We're going. That's fine. That's good. It's good. Well, what are they really getting out of that, brother? I don't know. It's just good to do. They have fun. I have fun. Some of y'all come and you watch and you have fun. That's fine. Right? You want to come back there and maybe hide behind where Dennis is, put on a little puppet show after church? I can't promise you I'll stay. But we got to make sure that the things that we're doing don't fly in the face of Scripture. We ought to love what God gave us to the point to where we don't want to change it. We get these armchair philosophers, these people who get these grand ideas that are, as I heard recently, extra biblical. Well, you know, if you're really reading some of these theologians, you'll also see, yeah, but they're wrong. Well, how do you know they're wrong? Well, you see the thing that they said there? Here's 4 or 5 verses that tells you that they're wrong. Yeah, but they've got a degree. Not in those 4 or 5 verses, I'll tell you that much. I love that. Well, I've got a doctorate. Well, you didn't get tested on this passage of Scripture, brother. I don't know what to tell you. Right? Let me tell you this, something I know for a fact. You can have a great education and still miss a thing or two. Everybody with an education will tell you that it does not stop on graduation day. You keep going. No matter what business you're in. If your family doctor stopped learning the day they graduated, you'd be in trouble. Right? You keep going. Right? Well, you know, I have often thought, or I like this, you can tell when a preacher's going to get messed up when they start talking about time as a construct. I heard a little piece of a sermon today. So he was preaching about space and time. And I go, oh, it's the Sci-Fi Channel. I love that. Right? Well, and here's what we know biblically about the doctrine of time. Time is a system of measurement that we created so we'd be on time for the train. It's what it is. It's not a substance. right? Just the same as an inch isn't a substance, a second isn't a substance either. It is how we measure things, right? We measure the traveling of one thing to another. We measure the traveling of the earth around the sun, the rotation of the earth. It's how we measure these things, but they are not things in and of themselves. And they get up, they start preaching on it. Where in Scripture do you see a doctrine of time? You don't. But I start hearing preaching like that, and I go, okay. You need to get back to the stuff that's actually there. Right? I guess that some preachers, they preach for much longer than I've ever been preaching. They run out of stuff to say. I'm there. I understand. Right? Not there. I'm not with you yet, but I get it. But don't go crazy. As the Bible says, Job chapter 40, verse 2, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Well, you see, that is what the Bible says, but I've often thought, were you there? Because God was, and he said this. Yeah, but if you really think about it as more of an abstract thing, man, you think of anything abstract, you could pull anything out of it. Right? You really can. I can sit there, I can make the Constitution say anything I want. Just got to run it through the shredder real quick, find the words, glue them together, become a Democrat. You can find ways to mess with that. But the Word of God is more than paper and ink. The Word of God is not a changeable document. It is not something that needs your brain to be true. God does not need your mind in order for His Word to work. It works without you. It does. Right? And we can sit there and we can deny it, as many of the world out there does. Well, I don't think that's true. Doesn't change the fact that it is. Right? Does this cliff start at 10 feet or 5 feet? It doesn't matter what you know about the cliff. It's measured out already. Truth is the truth. It is unchangeable and it cannot be messed with by us. I love this old time religion, so what we need to do is we need to hang on to it. How do we hang on to the truth? Well, we start off with the words. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Right? You hear the preaching. Well, is that right? And if you don't know it, let's talk about it. Right? Let's talk about it. Hold fast to that which is good. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Hang on to it. This teaching that you have, this that we get out of Scripture, you hang on to it. You hold it fast. Don't let it go. 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Holding fast the faithful word, this is Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. The word of God is what we hang on to. The word of God is what we prove everything against. The word of God is what we combat with. Is it not called the sword? Are we not taught to put everything up against it, to apply it to every situation? The words that we have inside are the words of life. You are out at sea, and the winds are starting to toss. You find your life jacket. That's it right here. You ever fly in an airplane? For those of you that maybe flown often on an airplane, the stewardess, they get up, or stewardess, but whoever's up there giving the announcement, and they're going through all the safety checks. If you've ever been on an airplane, have you ever memorized that? I bet many of us probably just started to tune it out. And over here you do this, and you pop that out, and there's an exit over here, exit over there, exit over here. You know what the first thing happens when that plane starts to bounce? People start to panic. You start to panic. You forget everything that was just said to you. Where's the exit? Where's the exit? Where's the floaty thing? Where's the floaty thing? Word of God is our instruction manual for life. And many of us, we're bouncing. We're floundering. There's things that are happening that are making us afraid. There are things that are happening that are breaking our hearts. What we need is that book. Not to hang on to the pages, not to be able to sit there and run our eyes over the ink, but to take what God has to say and put it into practice in our daily lives. We need it. We need it. And I'll tell you what, those that are falling out of love with the old-time religion, they've stopped holding on to the words. Well, how do you know? Because how are you applying those words and you don't understand? How on earth are you studying it the way that you should and are not falling in love with it? We'll talk about our favorite products, right? The things that we find at the store. Man, I tell you what, if you don't love it, you ain't tried it. That's how I feel about the Word of God. You don't love it, you ain't tried it. Well, no, I tried it. Yeah, but did you? Being around it isn't trying it. Sitting there, you're going to, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to do what the Word of God says, and if it don't work by the end of the day, it's not magic. It's not if I obey the Lord for 5 minutes, He's going to sit there like a prosperity gospel preacher and just dole it out on me. It's not how that works. You got to build right to have right. You just have to. We hold fast to the Word. We hold fast to the work. Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Faithfulness and obedience is how we get crowns. We want to make sure that nobody takes it away from us. Just because there are people out there and they may intimidate you. They may scare you. We may even want to sit there and be just a little ashamed. There's a shirt that I use when I'm doing work, and it's got Charles Spurgeon's face on it. And I completely forgot that I was wearing it on Friday, because when you're moving, you have what you can find. So I had work clothes. I threw that on. I was walking around. I was at a store, and a lady looks at my shirt, and she goes, "Who is that?" I'm saying, how do I explain this today? Because in a normal connotation, nobody would wear something that somebody from like the 1800s, somebody from the 1800s face on it that's not like Will Shakespeare or something like that. It just doesn't make any sense. For a second there, I kind of held back. Like, oh, she ain't going to like this. I looked at her and I saw her arms. I saw what she was wearing on her shirt. And I go, oh, she won't like this. I can be as loving as possible. Not be ashamed. I can be loving and direct. I can be loving and bold. I can speak the truth in love. But when we start hushing up because we're intimidated, we've done wrong. When we let what we see going on around us make us mean or make us quiet, we're doing it wrong. We hang on tight. Why are you doing that? Because that's what God told me to do. Right? Yeah. I was talking to some people about camp. And one of the problems we're having about camp, and again, I say problems, we're going to sort this out. Don't, Lord willing, we're going to work this out. We've got roughly about 100 people coming to camp now. We're going to keep it on the third week. Things are going well. But one of the things I struggled with is finding adults, because you know what kind of adults that we have coming? Adults that should not be out in the 90-degree sun playing softball with a bunch of kids. What happened? What should have been passed down to some 30-year-olds was passed out to dead air. There are people like me who grew up, and we were blessed by good biblical teaching and church. We were blessed with the teaching that you go out and you serve and you minister, and the way that you were blessed, you turn around and you bless others. But the ball was dropped. Why? Well, you know, I that's my fishing week. You know, that's my week to go out to the lake. That's my week to do that. I understand. You know, it's good to get away. It's good to get away. But it's much better to be a blessing. It's much better to put in the work when you can. You know, because I've got a ton of people that can teach. I've got a ton of people that can preach. What I need is somebody who can run up the side of a mountain with a flock full of kids. That's what I need. You know, what's going on there? For whatever reason, money, recreation, just lack of interest, apathy, you don't see it. Don't let that stuff take that away from you. The opportunity to be a blessing, the opportunity to be blessed by certain things. We had somebody who signed up to go to it. They're not bringing any kids with them. They just want to go. They want to be around the preaching. They just want to be there. Right? Young person too. Right? From Fly Rock. At first I thought, okay, well, she's bringing people. So I asked, I go, well, who are you driving down? Nobody, it's just me. All right. Why are you doing that? It's important. It's important. I enjoy a week away, no cell phone. I do. Right? This isn't my pitch for camp. What my pitch is, why do you give the gospel? Why do you keep having church services? Why would you throw away your career and go do that? Why would you do these things? Why is it that instead of just sitting at home on a hot day, why is it that instead of sitting at home on a cold day, are you doing this? What you do. It's what God commands of me. It's what we do. Listen, folks, we need to hang on to the work that God has given us. We need to hang on to the faith. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. You'll never be more faithful to God than God is to you. But you need to try. You need to try. Xander and I, we had a dresser drawer building contest the other day. And we had a good time, didn't we? We had a good time. I kicked his tail. He built one, I built one. We're like, all right, it's time to race. Found the battery for my drill, we were ready to go. You know what? There's absolutely no way that little punk's going to beat me for like the next 2 years. After that, who knows, man? After that, who knows? I don't know exactly what age a kid starts overtaking their parents and everything, but he's getting there. The point I'm trying to make is this. I'll never be able to out-faithful God. But I tell you what, I need to work as hard as I can. You better find me sweating in the face trying to try to prove my love and devotion to the Lord. This old-time religion doesn't work for people who dabble. This old-time religion doesn't work for people who just want to be around it. The old-time religion works for people who love the Lord, who hang on to the words and do the work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful for your faithfulness to us.